Kay Jackson, Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, a Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. The jury in the sex trafficking trial of Sean Diddy Combs has reached a verdict on 4 of 5 counts against him, but is stuck on the racketeering conspiracy charge. Legal contributor Caroline Polisi.
A partial verdict, while it is acceptable technically, it's a difficult resolution, especially on this RICO charge, since it is one of those top charges.
It narrowly passed the Senate. Now the president's massive spending and tax bill heads to the House. Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries is vowing to get it defeated.
Republicans are not the party of working class Americans. They are the party of the wealthy, the well-off, and the well-connected. Stop lying to the American people.
A severe heat wave in Europe has altered a lot of tourist plans.
I don't think we actually mentally came prepared that this was going to be so hot in Paris, because we had booked the tickets much well in advance.
The summit of the Eiffel Tower was closed due to the heat. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Lawmakers are at the Capitol working on the budget today, and there's bipartisan agreement on the plan. Savannah Tomey Olson has some details from that budget.
It includes the $1.3 billion tax cut Republicans had wanted, and the State Journal reports Governor Tony Evers has promised he will not veto it when it comes to his desk. Meanwhile, the plan gives what Evers calls the largest increase to the UW system in almost 20 years, with a $256 million jump over the next biennium. That includes money to stabilize campuses at risk of closing and increasing pay for staff. Republicans, including Speaker Robin Voss, have been pushing for an $87 million cut to the system. Co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, Senator Howard Markline.
This budget has involved an awful lot of compromise. This is my fourth budget as co-chair of Joint Finance Committee, and this will be the fourth budget that the governor will sign. So I think that demonstrates, again, our ability to work across the aisle and get things done.
The plan also includes a large increase in special ed funding, money for child care providers, and more money for mental health services in schools. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
The legislature's budget committee meets today with a full vote expected tomorrow. A Milwaukee County elected official has been charged in connection to a fatal motorcycle crash. Fox Point Village manager Scott Botcher faces a hit-and-run charge after his vehicle struck and killed a motorcyclist on I-94 near Elmhurst Road last week. Police say video evidence and car parts found at the scene helped to identify Botcher. The Fox Point Village Board has approved his use of paid time off while the case is pending. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour or anytime at WAUKradio.com.
Big changes for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks making some record moves in free agency. They waived Damian Lillard, who suffered that torn Achilles tendon. Lillard, who turns 35 later this month, will be paid $22.5 million over the next 5 years in dead money by the Bucks owners. GM John Horst then making a deal to acquire Indiana Pacers center Miles Turner, a 4-year deal worth $107 million. Turner is 29 years old. He'll replace 37-year-old Brooke Lopez, who will sign a 2-year contract with the LA Clippers. To get under the salary cap, the Bucks had to trade guard Pat Connaughton and 2 future second-round picks to the Charlotte Hornets in exchange for Vasilije Micic, a 31-year-old guard from Serbia. And Milwaukee will also sign 11-year veteran guard Gary Harris of the Orlando Magic. Again, Damian Lillard, no longer with the Bucks. Baseball, the Brewers and the Mets rained out tonight in New York. They'll play a split doubleheader tomorrow. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the upper 60s. And partly cloudy for tomorrow, maybe a stray storm. Hotter and more humid with highs in the upper 80s. And some storms still possible on Thursday. A mix of sun and clouds. Highs of 80 to 85. It's 82 right now.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app, Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olsen will join us to discuss breaking news as it continues on the state budget and in Washington. Plus, what's worse, join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who prefers to travel by catapult, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. I am Pete Schwabba. Welcome, welcome. Hope you're having a great Tuesday. We are inching closer to the 4th of July weekend, a holiday weekend, one of the most probably festive holidays we have here in America in terms of things we look forward to, long weekends, et cetera, et cetera. Just kind of throwing caution to the wind, eating and drinking like fools, and celebrating our nation's birth and independence. We have a great show tonight, folks. We are going to be talking. I thought this was perfect for the 4th of July because 4th of July is a the kind of holiday where you stand around a keg, you have some cocktails, you watch some fireworks, but it's kind of a, and I don't mean this in an unsafe or unhealthy way, but it's a drinking holiday. It's a summer booze holiday. And what better guest to have on the radio tonight on Nightlight than a distiller? Conrad, you know who we have coming in?
Sturgeon.
Sturgeon Spirits.
There we
go. Distillery founder Carl Lowenstein will join us here in the studio at 6:35. He makes everything. And I'm fascinated by the whole distilling process because it looks very cool. I just think it's a process. A lot of work and care goes into it. And ever since I watched the show MASH, where Hawkeye and Trapper would make their own booze in the tent, even before I drank, I was fascinated at the process. And especially with whiskey and bourbon and the barrels and all that kind of stuff, I find the whole process really interesting. So I thought, what better? And this is a great week to have a distiller on the show. Carl will be here at 6:35. I have a host of questions for him, and I'm sure he will enjoy answering them. I talked to him on the phone the other day, and he's also a UW Oshkosh professor. So we'll talk to Carl about what he brings to each craft by way of the other. And he will be here at 6:35 in the studio. And then at 7:35, in honor of Cameron Frye's birthday, actor Alan Ruck turns, I believe, 55 today. He played Cameron Frye in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. So we will have a little discussion about Ferris Bueller's Day Off at 7:35 with our pal Lisa Hale, the host of New Wisco Weekend here on WGBW and WISS, if you haven't checked out our news magazine show that Lisa hosts. It's really fun, and there's a different theme every week. It's a great show. Conrad contributes to it every week. I do a classic movie pick every week. It's just a little treasure we have here in Northeast Wisconsin, the Northeast Wisconsin branch of Civic Media. Lisa will be here at 7:35, and we were already... Lisa, every time I email Lisa, I think I told you this, Con, she comes back with movie lines. When I tell her what my classic movie pick of the week will be, she has a ton of movie lines. Like, she's apparently seen everything. She dwarfs my knowledge of movies, and it's kind of emasculating. But we'll have a fun talk with Lisa at 7:35 about a great movie and a great summertime movie, too. Ferris Bueller's Day Off came out in 1987 or 88. I got to go to the Google. But it was a summer movie, and it was just a great, I think I saw it like 5 times that summer. So we'll talk to Lisa about that. That'll be fun. And we'll talk fireworks. What did you find out about fireworks? The history. They go back really far.
Yeah, they do. I believe it was, you know, made in from
China, right?
Yeah, China, yeah. With gunpowder, I believe.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, it's personally, I'm a see it one time a year guy. Fireworks. I don't know. I don't go crazy for fireworks. What about either. You?
Same. I don't. We've been lucky. We have a neighbor. Our neighbor Marty has put on this little fireworks show every year. I don't think he's doing it this year, but the people in our neighborhood just kind of walk down to the water and we get our own little personal show, which is fine. But my mom loves fireworks. And she said, well, if Marty's not doing them this year, maybe we could all get in the car and go over to Menominee across the river to Michigan. Yeah. And when you do that, you might as well be in downtown Chicago. I'm not fighting traffic in a small town.
Yeah.
There are hundreds of cars, and I'm not doing it. And I don't like fireworks that much. Like, they're beautiful. I love them. But to be honest, I like watching them on TV over the mall in Washington that they do every year. That's fun. I like looking across the bay and seeing Door County's displays. That's a little bit of a distance, but you can still – I mean, it's just a fun show. But that's my level of interest. I don't have to sit there under the fireworks for 2 hours.
In Kewaskum, it was like that too. It was, you know, there's cars everywhere. Luckily for me, I lived in town, so if I wanted to, I could walk to it.
Yeah, that's the way to go.
But then you have to find a seat.
Right.
And in Kewaskum, they do it on a hill.
Okay.
Like, that's where people sit. And then a little bit across the grass is where they start shooting off fireworks. It's in a park.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to find an actual spot in there.
Right.
On that hill. I mean, it's pretty big.
It sounds kind of cool.
It was cool. But it's like, you've seen them. They don't really change that much every year.
Right.
It's fireworks. They're going to do the same thing. I don't know.
They do the same thing, and every year you hear the, ooh.
Yeah, exactly. Like, ooh.
Well, you just saw this the last 30 years in a row. Is this really new? And I know I sound like a bah humbugger, but fireworks are beautiful. I love them at a baseball game or when it's not expected or something like that. But I just, now that my kids are older, I used to brave those groups, you know, especially when we lived in L.A., it was more of a hassle. But even in a small town, you know, when you got to get your spot, like you said, and there are, maybe I'm exaggerating, but I don't think I am. I bet there were years when there have been over 100 or 200 cars, which in a small town creates
a lot.
Bottleneck,
yeah.
You know, and I just don't, I don't know.
I'm kind of a bah humbug with this too. Like, I don't know. I just never really liked fireworks that much. Like, I'd go to a Temper Rattler game with my brother and some of his friends, and they'd be like, we got to stay for fireworks after. I'm like, why?
See, then I would do it. If you're already there.
I know. I'm
sure,
like.
Sure, bring it.
But we can beat the traffic, you know?
Oh, you're that guy.
As soon as we get in, all right, how are we going to get out, guys?
That's great. But I'm not anti-firework. I'm anti-crowd. You know, my brother and my dad got in the car on Father's Day and went to a Cubs game from Marinette, Wisconsin. They drove 4 hours to Wrigley Field and 4 hours home the same day. Maybe something's wrong with me. I'm not doing that.
I wouldn't do that either.
I've been to hundreds of baseball games. I love it. And, you know, if I could jump on the L or if I lived an hour away, maybe I would do that. But, and they're both lawyers. I knew there'd be a ton of legal talk and I have no interest in that. So
that sounds like a fun car ride.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk more about torts. Anyway, again, I don't mean to sound like a bah humbugger. I actually, when I was a kid, there was a kid in our neighborhood who blew half of his thumb off with a firework. So I've always had this kind of bias.
There's a kid who I know who did that.
Really?
Too. Well, his whole hand, actually.
He blew his whole hand off?
All of his fingers.
Like an M80 or something?
I don't know. We weren't that close, but like, I heard about it.
We should have had him on for our handshake segment last week. And that always, like, not to me, like, they didn't freak me out whenever I was around someone doing fireworks. I'd kind of keep my distance, but whatever, I didn't mind watching, but it scared me for my kids. Like, I was always worried they were going to be at some idiot's house who didn't know what they were doing. And I always thought about that kid in our neighborhood that blew half his thumb off.
Yeah.
Half your thumb. And he was like 9. messing around with fireworks in the park. Yeah, it was insane.
You know, I don't like those, what are those little like things you can throw and they make that snapping noise. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
I had friends that would just chuck them at people.
Oh, horrible. I knew kids that would put them in animals. It's awful. Yeah. In Marinette, several years ago down by the water, I caught some kids putting fireworks in toads. And I'm like, get out of here, you future serial killers.
Yeah,
like,
that's crazy.
It's so awful. And I looked online to find some fireworks accidents because I thought there'd be some funny ones, but it's all just horrifying.
Yeah, no. It's
you want to talk about it, you know?
No, that's terrible.
All right, so I promise the show will go uphill from here, folks. We'll try to turn this around. I have a piece of glass in my foot, which is kind of...
That sucks.
It does, and it's not a big... It's like a little shard. It's a tiny shard.
Those are the worst.
That hurts a little bit, and I can't find it. And I know that something was broken on the kitchen floor, and I'm sure somebody swept it up and didn't quite get everything. So now, what do I do? Like, I know you're not a doctor, but like, do I wait for it to pass like a kidney stone, or is it going to get infected? I don't know what to do.
This is what I'll tell you. The one thing that I've done to help me get it out, splinters or something like that, is leave my foot in the bathtub until it gets to that little like soggy state.
Oh, and then go digging around?
And then it kind of like goes out a little bit.
Here's the problem. I haven't taken a bath since 1974.
Well, you don't have to take an actual, just put your foot in there.
Put my foot in some water. Okay. And then you until get the tweezers and...
Exactly.
What are you saying? It works its way out
because
of the heat or the moisture or what?
I don't know. It just works for me.
Okay.
I've done it with my hand, too.
Serious medical opinion here.
I've done it with my hand.
All right. I got to do something. It's starting to annoy me more than anything. I'm not like bleeding profusely or anything.
Those are the worst, though. Those little tiny things that you can't
find.
The
annoying. Yeah.
But you can feel it.
Exactly. Did you say we missed a Steady Eddie text last night?
Yeah, last night he was talking about, you asked him, was it the Atlanta Braves or the Milwaukee Braves? And he's texted and saying the Milwaukee Braves.
The Milwaukee Braves. Okay, very good, Steady Eddie. That, by the way, him just saying Milwaukee Braves is the shortest Steady Eddie text we've ever received.
It is.
So we are going to get to our question of the night shortly. We have... a great one tonight, folks. And I hope everybody, it's been so fun with the questions lately. And last night we had great responses to our, who is the greatest athlete ever to wear a pro or college Wisconsin uniform. And tonight we've got a good one too. As I mentioned at 6:35, Carl Lowenstein will be here from Sturgeon Spirits Distillery. We're going to talk distilling and spirits. It's going to be a lot of fun, especially right before the 4th of July. So I think we should not waste any more time and get to our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What drink will you be nursing on the 4th of July? I mean, I'm not encouraging day drinking, but if there is a day... You are going to day drink. It's going to be the 4th of July. So what's a good drink to nurse? You got to take your time, especially if you start early, before noon, post noon, whatever. What's a good drink to nurse on the 4th of July? Let's have an information exchange here and help each other out. And not while you're driving, you know, if you're staying in your neighborhood and you're just going to watch fireworks and cook out, and you don't want to really cook out when you've been day drinking either, but... What's a good drink to nurse on the 4th of July? Responsibly. Wisconsibly, I should say.
Wisconsibly and nursing don't really go hand in hand.
Opposite ends.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I don't know this one. Like I said, I haven't had a drink in over a couple of years now, but there was a slushy. The Murphy side of my family used to make. My mom's relatives made this, like, I think it was brandy and ice. It would probably be something like that or margarita. What about you?
So... I just recently tried this new Leinenkugel's beer.
Summer Shandy?
No, I've had that many, many of times. It is a new flavor that they put out this year, and it's Liney Lodge Lime.
Lime?
And it's a Mexican lager.
Ooh.
With like lime in it already, pretty much.
Okay.
It's so good.
Really?
It's dynamite. I'm going to have some of those.
That sounds fantastic. Yeah. That's heavy, though.
Not really. It's a little bit heavier than a Corona, I'd say.
All right, fair enough. So that's our question, folks. Please be part of the fun. We'll read your text on the radio. What drink will you be nursing on the 4th of July? Great night for this, because we've got an actual distiller, Carl Lowenstein, in the studio tonight at 6:35. We're coming right back to read your text. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Tracy Ann Mangold, how would you describe what it is that Brian Schimming is caught in the crossfires of?
He's the first paid state chair that they've ever had. And so the belief was that maybe that'll increase his ability to fundraise for the state. Obviously, that has not worked out so well. I've been told that he thinks 4 phone calls a day to fundraise is a lot, which, you know, isn't.
104 might be a good start.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
That's a great summer song, because Back to the Future was another great summer movie. I remember summer of 1985. That's another film I saw. I just couldn't get enough of it. I saw it like 3 or 4 times. Loved that song by Huey Lewis, The Power of Love. And I found this last night or the night before. Huey Lewis was talking about that song, Power of Love, and why it worked in that movie. And I thought it was a great point. And I'll discuss it. Let's hear the clip, and then we'll come out of it and discuss.
We weren't allowed to put Power of Love on our record, except in the rest of the world, in Europe. Yeah. So we never, you know, of all of our songs, we probably made less money on Power of Love than
crazy.
Actually, Power Love, on the surface, had nothing to do with the movie. The lyric has nothing to do with the movie. Yeah. And there's no real love object in the movie, even. The way these things work best is when the song stands on its own, and then the movie stands on its own. If the song is clearly written for the movie, it kind of diminishes the song somehow.
First, Power Love was nominated for a Grammy and Oscar and the whole nine yards.
Nothing. Zero. Not.
Which I was so frustrated. I watched the Oscars.
No Grammy. Yeah. We're nominated for like 10 Grammys.
I know.
One. Bruce Springsteen just killed us.
Man. Yeah.
9 for or something for Born in the USA.
That's
the power of
love. That's such a great point. Like, the movies where the music works, he's so right about that. Like, they weren't written for the movie. Jay Leno used to do this great joke about how he hated movies. Like when they would do the Oscars and movies were nominated and they would write production numbers for the films, even though they didn't have production numbers. And he would do like this, oh, those Amish, aren't they farmish? And it was like so bad. But I find that too, when they write songs for movies, they can be really cheesy. But The Power of Love just worked on every level in Back to the Future. Such a great song. That was a great interview. We have a great question tonight, folks. What drink will you nurse on the 4th of July? I assume you'll start a little sooner than you typically do. So what are you going to drink? Obviously, you're not going to start with the shots at 10 a.m. Hopefully not. Well, Conrad might, but
might.
You're working that day, right?
No.
We've got Tom from New Berlin says drone shows will replace fireworks shows, but together they will be spectacular. That's interesting. Yeah, that's great, Tom. Thank you. You're probably right about that. And there will be purists who won't want that. But Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says the first fireworks was really the Big Bang and nobody was there for the show. Well said. You know, the Big Bang started with something, a little molecule, like a thing smaller than a grain of sand. And I remember when I read this, and it was so dense, because everything that's here came out of that, that if you put it in the palm of your hand, it would take you into different dimensions. Mind-boggling. That's my science knowledge for the day. No, seriously, it was a book I read. I think it was called, it was a book about string theory by a guy named Brian Greene. It was called The Elegant Universe. And it was so fascinating. String theory is fascinating. But you read it. I had to read like every sentence like three times.
Yeah.
To let the,
you know those books.
Yeah. And I was fascinated. So I stuck with it. But I was like, wow, I am not smart enough to be reading this. Tom, again, from New Berlin says, Pete, it will fester and pull it like a man clean it good. Oh, the glass in my foot.
So it will fester. You need to pull it out and then clean it good.
I'm glad Tom's not my father. Sit down, boy, and pull that glass out of your foot. Liz from Sun Prairie says she's going to have tequila and soda with a lime or a splash of Aperol. Am I saying that right?
Yep, you got it. That.
Or another liqueur to give it a bit of flavor. Loving your show. No to handshakes. No to fireworks unless you can't hear them. A lot of people don't like fireworks because of their pets.
Yeah.
And that's something to consider. Yeah. That's something, too. Thank you, Liz. Great text. And I would shake your hand, Liz. I'm just saying that. I'm not saying I love handshakes, but I'm not a total curmudgeon. And we got Steady Eddie's text. I want to talk about this show I've been watching called Department Q. I recommend it. It's by the same guy who wrote The Queen's Gambit, and he wrote Minority Report, the Tom Cruise film. And it's a really good show. It's a detective show set in, I think, Belfast, Ireland. Actually, it's kind of ambiguous, but it's definitely somewhere in the UK. Or Ireland, and it's a really good show. A good detective show about a guy who unearths a cold case, and he's trying to find this girl who he thinks is still alive. And she is, but she's been missing for like 4 years. And the show starts with him getting shot with his partner. The partner gets shot in the spine. The bullet goes through the partner in this guy's jaw and out the other side of his neck. They both almost die, but neither one of them does. So he's dealing with the trauma of this horrible shooting. He doesn't know who shot him, and his partner is paralyzed. But they're both still working a case. It's a fascinating show, and I'm really digging it. But it's not one of those shows that you have to watch. Some shows you have, like, oh, by the way, I started White Lotus Season 3.
Oh, there you go.
Two episodes in.
How do you feel?
Patrick Schwarzenegger character is really creepy.
Oh, so
and I know
creepy.
It gets worse.
I've heard. It gets way worse.
But I like it. I like Mike White's phenomenal. All those shows are great. They're just well written. I love the three women who talk and like, oh, she's great. She's great. But you know what? Like, they always try to get a dig in on their friend. It's just really good. I'm only two episodes in, but I highly recommend Department Q. Very good stuff. We've got some text we'll get to. Let's go to PJ's on the stream. He says, soak foot in bucket of warm. He's not using any articles. He says, soak foot in bucket of warm water with Epsom salt. It will draw out the sliver. It's glass, though. Will that work for glass?
I would just try it to see if it works because I've had it work.
Carl's a distiller. Let's ask him. PJ also says, I might pick up a pack of Sensei High Seltzers. These are available in lemonade and strawberry lemonade flavors and come in 4-packs, 8-packs, and 16-packs with varying THC concentrations. Keep them all there, PJ. If you're really going to nurse them, do it right, right? All right, we'll read more of your texts as the show goes on. Coming up next, we're going to talk spirits with Carl Lowenstein. It's Pete Schwabe and Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The fate of legal abortion in Wisconsin hangs in the balance. The state Supreme Court is expected to rule tomorrow on the validity of a pre-Civil War abortion ban. The decision comes after a Dane County judge found the law targets non-consensual abortions. There's also been a shift to a liberal majority on the court. The justices' questions from November suggest that they may strike down the old ban, keeping abortion legal until 20 weeks. A law intended to help students read only received part of its intended funding from state legislators. Jimmy Koska has more.
Republican legislators on the state's Joint Finance Committee released only part of the funds allocated for 2023 Act 20, a law that mandates phonics-based instruction to address reading literacy in schools across Wisconsin. The law called for $50 million in funding, but only $9 million was released. The money will be used to hire over 5 dozen literacy coaches at schools with the lowest reading scores. The remaining $41 million is now returned to the state.
The deadline for the full $50 million in funding to be released was yesterday. A memorial for fallen Milwaukee police officer Kendall Corder continues to grow outside of the District 2 headquarters. That's where Corder served before being fatally shot on June 26th. Mourners have placed flowers, memorials, and blue line flags on a marked squad car. Officer Corder and his partner, both 6-year veterans, were responding to a call about a person with a weapon when they were ambushed and shot multiple times. Corder died 3 days later from his injuries. His partner survived. If you plan on hitting the road tomorrow, you won't be alone. AAA says the busiest travel time of the Independence Day weekend is tomorrow, technically noon to 9 tomorrow. The other busy times are Thursday afternoon and again Sunday afternoon. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour or anytime at WAUKradio.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. During a recent appearance at Fuel Fest, Vin Diesel said he recently spoke with a Universal executive who asked him if they could do another Fast and Furious film, to which the actor said yes, but on 3 conditions. The conditions were to return the filming to production-starved L.A., embrace the purity of street racing once again, and to have his buddy Paul Walker make an appearance in the film. Walker passed away in 2013 after a high-speed car crash at just 40 years old. Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez's $50 million wedding was the talk of the weekend, but the talk wasn't all good. Charlize Theron spoke during her 5th annual African outreach project in L.A. and said to the crowd, "I think we might be the only people not invited to the most talked-about wedding," at which point the Mad Max Fury Road star said, "That's okay because they suck and we're cool." Two very different events, but a lot less collagen and steroids at Theron's event. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the upper 60s. And partly cloudy for tomorrow, maybe a stray storm, hotter and more humid with highs in the upper 80s. And some storms still possible on Thursday, a mix of sun and clouds, highs of 80 to 85. It's 82 right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, "I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah." It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to, like, bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing.
Even all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, State Representative Angela Stroud on Republicans supporting lead waterline removal in Superior if they can stick taxpayers with most of the bill.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Pete Schwab, this is Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday as we barrel toward a big holiday here in America, the 4th of July. Can't wait. We'll be taking some time off here, but we'll have shows on throughout the end of this week and Monday. We have some really fun best of shows put together for you guys, so hopefully you can still get a dose of Nightlight if you so choose during our time away. PJ on the stream says, yes, that Epsom salt method will work for the shard of glass. The salt is a natural drawing agent. Science. Now, here's the danger, is he could put that and I'd go, okay, that's great. I don't know, PJ. He could drive a forklift and there's nothing wrong with that, but does he, you know, people just believe people.
You know, it's based on experience.
PJ put a piece of glass in his foot and got it out this way?
Yeah.
All right. Either way, I appreciate the advice, PJ. I'm sure you're a reputable human being and a great texter, but I don't know. It kind of scares me. Rob from Green Bay says, I'll be enjoying Athletic Brewing Company's Free Wave Hazy IPA. That's from Rob in Green Bay. That sounds lovely. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, I will be nursing the intergalactic garble blaster served only at the restaurant at the end of the galaxy. Prost. Wow. I don't know what to make of that. Tyler sounds like he's already having some fun for the holiday. All right, keep those texts coming, folks. What drink will you be nursing on the 4th of July? That is tonight's question of the night here at Nightlight. We will read your texts on the radio as they come in. Right now, I'm very excited to welcome my first guest of the night. He is Carl Lowenstein, and he is the founder of Sturgeon Spirits Distillery. And check out the website, folks. Listen to the interview, but check out the website. I cannot even believe how much booze you make.
Oh, we have a great time. And thanks so much for having me on.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for being here. And it's great to have you actually in the studio. How was the drive up?
You know, once you get past the construction in Appleton, it's a straight shot.
Oh, okay.
It's really less than an hour to get up here. It's no big deal.
Oshkosh is a great city. Have you born and raised?
No, actually, okay. I grew up in Iowa.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us how you ended up in Oshkosh.
Well, basically for work. So I think, I taught at the university at UW Oshkosh for 23 years, and that was the first full-time academic job that I had. So that's where you go. Academics is weird that way.
Yeah.
When you get a job, you go there, and in many cases, you just stay.
Yeah, and it worked out well for you.
It did.
You decided to stay. You could put a distillery anywhere. I imagine Wisconsin's a good place for one.
It is, and so is Oshkosh, because it didn't have one, and it's a booming industry, and they're popping up all over the place.
Absolutely. All right, so let's jump right in, Carl. This is exciting. I was saying at the beginning of the show, my first, awareness of distilling and the process of how alcohol is made was from the show MASH, because Hawkeye and Trapper had their own still in their tent. And I thought that was fascinating. I remember trying to watch going, how do they do that? Like, so I don't know much about the distilling process. I've had another distiller on about a year ago, and I find it fascinating. But let's do a deep dive here, because you're just the guy to talk to. Tell us, first of all, about your business, Sturgeon Spirits.
So we are a little craft distillery. We do all. We're at 2663 Oregon Street in Oshkosh. We've got our own production facility and tasting room and cocktail lounge. We just opened a new event space, so we're having parties and bridal showers and a whole bunch of other things. And we've been at it now for just about 2.5 years.
Wow.
And I have been retired for about 1.5. So I worked the first year just in case it didn't come together for me.
But it came together.
It's going well. Absolutely.
Okay.
I love my retirement.
Yeah. Are you working harder now on what you're doing now than you were when you were teaching?
Well, it's a very different kind of work. I mean, essentially, this is my hobby. I was distilling for probably 10 years in my garage. My wife kicked me out of the house and said, you'll blow it up if you distill in the house. So I'm outside in the garage and having a great time with that. And then I did. I got a long way in my teaching career, and I said, I need something new. And why not turn your hobby into a business?
Good for you. That's really impressive. All right. So did being a history professor, were you able to bring any of that knowledge to the distilling process or to this new business? Because I was looking, I asked that because on your website, you're very knowledgeable about all bourbons and whiskeys and everything. I'm sure you didn't teach that at Oshkosh, but you seem to have a love of history.
No, I think distilling is an incredibly historical discipline or business because there is nothing more deeply embedded in American history than drinking. And so it is such a core feature if you think about the parts of American history. The first rebellion against U.S. government was the Whiskey Rebellion because they didn't like the taxes put on the farmers to pay for the whiskey. And, of course, Prohibition is just this weird moment in our history. So nothing I learned as a professor really came over. The skills I learned at how to read and how to do research. I mean, I just read books, right? Yeah. I love to just experiment and do all that stuff. And doing that kind of work is really what you do as a history professor.
It's so different, though, than what you did. That's what, I guess, fascinates me. Like, you're owning your own business now, and you're kind of an artist. You're making all these great drinks, and teaching is so different. Like, I'm kind of fascinated.
Well, that's true. I've always been the kind of guy who just sticks his hands in and goes, right? I love to learn new stuff. I love to keep experimenting. The fun part about distilling is there's always something new. And the same thing about being a small businessman, right? There's always a new thing to figure out, right? I'm doing marketing. I'm doing accounting. I'm doing distilling. I'm making cocktails. I'm doing, you know, construction supervision. You name it, I have done it in the last 2.5 years. I love it.
Let me ask you this. Is it hard to learn? Like, if people are listening, and I'm sure you don't want everybody to do this, but it seems very involved in like a detail-oriented process. Is it hard to learn how to distill?
I think distilling is actually easier than making beer.
Okay.
Because one of the great things about distilling is that everything is at such high alcohol concentrations, it's sterile. And I don't know if you ever talk to a brewer, right? They have to worry about bacterial contamination and dirty lines and all this stuff and oxygen and all these things that contaminate your product and makes it not taste good. I can take whatever I make, I run it through the still, it comes off the still at 80% alcohol or 90% alcohol, it's sterile. And it's clean. And in fact, I was just talking to some of my friends at Fifth Ward Brewery in Oshkosh, and they brought me some beer that they had too much of and they'd had some contamination problems. I distilled it. It made a terrific whiskey. I mean, I would say it's a terrific whiskey. We put in a barrel for a year and it's delicious.
That's fascinating. I was telling you before we came on the air that Flicks Brewhouse in Madison made a nightlight beer for the Wisconsin Film Festival called Haze on Radio. I want to say, Dave, the brewmaster, had it done maybe in 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. How long is it more of a process when you're distilling spirits?
Well, actually, distilling is brewing with one more step. So I essentially make a beer, and it's a whiskey mash or a corn mash or a rum mash or whatever. I ferment that so the alcohol, the sugars get turned into alcohol.
Right.
And then I put it in my still.
Okay.
Right. And with your brewing, you just turn it into alcohol and then you serve it. I do the one more step. And so for me, I can do a batch in a week from start to the spirit coming off the still. But the thing about it is it comes off the still clear. No matter what you make, it's clear, and whatever proof you want it to be at the still, it comes off clear. And the color that's in a whiskey comes from the barrel and the aging. That's why moonshine is clear, because that's fresh from the still, even though it's the same recipe as a whiskey.
So the color of whiskey, scotch, bourbon, whatever, is because of the barrel?
Yes. It is absolutely crystal clear when it comes off the still.
So why do they say, and maybe it has nothing to do with the actual color then, but they say stay away from the brown, whether it's colas or like a whiskey. I think vodka is not as detrimental to your health.
Well, they're all pretty bad for you if you drink them straight. Guess, that's why the cocktails are better. Okay. But I think that's personal preference. But the one of the things about the, well, we get into a lot of detail, but whiskey usually comes off the still at a lower proof and therefore has more stuff left in it. When you take vodka off the still, it's all the way up at 95% pure alcohol. So there's no impurities left in that at all. So it's super, super pure alcohol. And that's where, and I think that's why vodka can have a smaller effect on you, because there's less kind of leftovers and esters and various other chemical compounds that pass through the distilling process.
That makes a lot of sense. Tell me about, if you would, the barrels, because, I mean, you say you use white oak barrels.
Right.
Do all, like, what's the perfect barrel to use to make a whiskey or a scotch or, you know, something like that?
Well, it's not, everything's an art. That's one of the things I love about it, right? There's no, there is the simple answer, which is there's a government rule that says you can't call it bourbon unless it's in a new American white oak barrel. So if you get a bourbon, you know what kind of barrel it, and it has to be in there for at least 2 years. So there's a federal regulation defining what bourbon is. For whiskeys and scotches and all of those other things, there are rules, but you can use whatever barrel you might want. But to have bourbon, you need to have
white
oak American barrel.
Why?
I don't know. I think that I don't actually have a good answer to why it has to be that specifically. I have a feeling it has to do with the industry as it developed, right? To say when bourbon as an idea was coming into being, they said, we want to make sure it's really distinctive and we want to do something that's really uniquely American. And so putting in an American white oak barrel does impart a certain flavor, but it also is part of the thing that makes bourbon bourbon.
My guest is Carl Lowenstein. He is the founder of, I'm completely blanking here, Sturgeon Spirits Distillery in Oshkosh. It is located at 2663 Oregon Street in Oshkosh. They do tours, events, everything. They have every kind of alcohol under the sun. Go to the website and check out their website, because you'll be blown away by all of the products they offer. How long does it take to make good whiskey? Let's say a good Irish whiskey, or you said bourbon has to stay for 2 years, and you've only been in business for barely that long.
So right. I have no bourbon to sell in bottles. We have a little, we have some really young stuff that we do use for cocktails and tastings, but I don't sell it in a bottle because I don't, it's not ready yet.
But you're working on it.
It's in, sitting in barrels. Like I have a ton of barrels just sitting around waiting.
Oh, but man. How excited are you to taste that when it comes out? That must be like something you look forward to.
Oh, no, it's really exciting. We taste it. We do taste it every once in a while, and I think it's getting really close. And so the other thing that you can do is big and small barrels. And so I have some really small barrels that will be faster. We're going to hit that two-year part and have a young bourbon that we will release. But we're not there yet.
I've tasted new whiskey. And it doesn't quite have the taste of, how long do you have to let whiskey sit before it's really good? And does that matter?
It does. It totally matters. And, you know, obviously some people go for let it sit for 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
5 is the kind of industry standard that it needs to be in a barrel for 5 years to kind of be, again, with bourbon without a caveat.
Yeah.
But there are so many variables that it's hard to say, and I think a lot of it's individual taste, so what you like. Because you can also over oak whiskey, and that's like, it tastes literally too oaky and not what I want. And so there's a lot of, fine tuning.
Carl Lowenstein is here. He is the founder of Sturgeon Spirits Distillery. And when we come back, I'm going to ask him what the difference is between 18-year scotch and 10-year scotch. Let's start there, and then we'll find out all awesome stuff that they offer at Sturgeon Spirits. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network. So soon we'll burn without a noise,
without my pride. I'll reach out for me. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't scroll past summer. Experience it live at Summerfest. See your favorite artist, grab your go-to fest food, and make memories you'll talk about all year. Because it's more than just a music festival. It's your summer highlight reel. Don't miss Summerfest, presented by American Family Insurance, June 19th through 21st, June 26th through 28th, and July 3rd through 5th. The stories you tell this summer, they start at Summerfest. Get tickets now at summerfest.com.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app, Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local civic media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on waukradio.com/contest-terms. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Get up, Paul. I want to drive them on. When you're feeling blue.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Quaba. Great to have you with me. It's a Tuesday night edition of Nightlight. Slightly different than last night. Kurt Newman of the Bodines here. That was fun. And we had, who else do we have on the show, Connor? That was a lot of fun.
Well, we had your buddy Nathan Deming.
I know. I was testing you. And Jeffrey Curtis. That was a great talk about film incentives coming to Wisconsin. And tonight is no different, folks. We have a great guest here in studio right now. Lisa Hale will be here at 7:35. We'll be talking about the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off in honor of Cameron Frye's birthday. It's Alan Ruck's birthday today, so we thought that was a good night to do Ferris Bueller. But before that, we are talking about Sturgeon Spirits Distillery and all the products they make. The distiller is here in the studio, and he is the founder of Sturgeon Spirits, Carl Lowenstein. It's great to have you here. Before we went to the break, I mentioned you gave a very funny answer about, but what is the difference, really? I had all these friends where I used to live that loved scotch and turned me on to scotch, and they would drink 18-year-old scotch. I don't even know what that goes for right now in terms of the cost, but I found a 10-year scotch at Trader Joe's that I loved. And to me, it tasted as good as anything I had. What is the difference? And is it like to the naked palate, is it that much different?
Well, I think I my answer was silly, but it's basically true. Eight years. So what happens is that whiskey sits in contact with a barrel for an additional 8 years, which should mellow it out more.
Okay.
Which there's a little more evaporation. So
less burn?
It should have a little less burn.
Okay.
But I haven't had whiskey around that long, so I can't tell you from personal experience how much the difference is going to be. I mean, I've tried some of those older whiskeys, and I tend to think that the mash overpowers the barrel when you get to that stage. Because barrels, for me, I've noticed that barrels kind of get used up their character. So, you know, after a certain amount of time, you're just not going to get that much more flavor out of the barrel. You're just kind of just letting it rest. So it's kind of that resting that I think can change the complexion, but I don't know the chemistry. I'm not a chemist. I'm a historian.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what's going on chemically.
Do you like to drink? Are you? I would assume you have a pretty good sense of all the stuff. If you went into business, like you like a good cocktail. Where's your level of drinking?
Yeah, I always say I didn't go into this just because I wanted free booze. I really was into the making it as a craft, because what I did in my garage is I would make liqueurs that I would give at gifts. So in fact, I gave you a little sample of cranberry vodka, which was basically the first product I made at home. This is like there, and you sweeten it a little bit. It makes a great Cosmo. You use it for Christmas gifts. You know, you can make all sorts of really nice drinks. And so I got into just making alcohol for cocktails. Now I like to drink. My favorite right now is we have this lavender gin. I do a lavender gin and tonic, which I love every night.
Huh.
And then, you know, we're always got something new, some new cocktails to just taste. So,
you know, I'm going to hold this up here on the stream again. This is a cranberry vodka from Sturgeon Spirits that Carl brought in. And even the packaging, it's very slick packaging, by the way. But how do you decide on how to package stuff? The whole thing seems like it would be so time consuming, and you're retired.
Well, what I would say is I leaned on good people. One of the things that makes a business like this work is finding good people and work with them. My brand design, my shape, my sturgeon, it was all designed by this amazing local design team in Oshkosh who made this lovely package. Quill Design Studios put this whole thing together, and that became the basis for everything that we do. You know, I hired an architect to make sure our building and our tasting room and our fit the kind of character that we wanted to create. So at every step of the way, you find the right people, you can make this whole thing work.
And it's a great passion project for you.
It is.
Yeah. So what's the most... tell us this first. Where did the name Sturgeon Spirits come from?
Well, I think it's a celebration of our community. I mean, one of the things in the Lake Winnebago Basin and the Fox River and all through the area are these great, amazing primordial fish that has the weirdest fishing season you can possibly imagine, right? A frozen lake and you spear them. I mean, this is a phenomenon that you will see nowhere else in the world. And I wanted to celebrate that. And I'll tell you one more story because I do like to tell stories. So the house I bought when I moved to Oshkosh 25 years ago was also built by sturgeon poachers. So I'm connected to the history of sturgeon. So the family that built this house, apparently, though they actually started to put the control on sturgeon fishing back in the 20s because the dang Russians were taking all the caviar, right? They were fishing out the whole population for caviar. And so they put this caps on, but the people who owned the house just kept right on fishing the sturgeon out of the lake. They had a smokehouse in the backyard, and then they would sell them out of their ice business.
Wow. That's fascinating. And what better mascot, so to speak, for your business than a sturgeon for a history professor, because they're so old, they're like prehistoric. It says this ancient species made its first appearance about 100 million years ago. Is that 100 million?
100 million years ago.
Okay, in the upper Cretaceous period of the Mesozoic era. You're in the weeds here with your history stuff, but that's a great name. And you guys do a lot for the community too. We'll get to that maybe after the news, but what is the most difficult spirit to make? Like, is there one that's finicky, like you have to be overly meticulous when you're distilling it?
I haven't found anything that's been really hard to do. I have a lot of I have temperature control issues, right? So one of the things you have to worry about is yeast is really picky. You got to keep your temperature down. If it gets too high, the yeast basically kills itself. If it gets too low, they stop being active. You got to keep your pH right. So there's a lot of chemistry that I have to deal with. But the recipes themselves, the base distilling, hasn't been radically different from one product to the next.
That is fascinating. All right. We have Carl Lowenstein is in the studio. He is the founder of Sturgeon Spirits Distillery in Oshkosh, and they do tours. They have tons of craft cocktails. He's only been in business for less than 2 years. And after the news, the second act, after intermission, we're going to come back and talk about how you use rhubarb in your vodkas. And you have a jalapeno vodka. I don't know if you're the first to ever do that. It's the first I've heard of it. So we'll talk about that and Carl's process and more about what they do for the community and how you can be part of a great experience at Sturgeon Spirits. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. We're coming back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And I thank God I'm alone. You're just too good to be true.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. A partial verdict is what the jury has reached in the trial of hip-hop mogul Sean Diddy Combs. CBS's Jerika Duncan says they agree on the sex trafficking counts, but appear to be stuck on the racketeering conspiracy charges.
The judge is saying, keep going, keep deliberating. The prosecution and the defense think that that is a good idea.
Deliberations resume tomorrow. President Trump calls his tax and spending bill that narrowly passed the Senate today a great bill with something for everyone. It now heads to the House, where Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries says
Donald Trump's one big ugly bill will hurt everyday Americans and reward their billionaire donors.
The president has gotten a firsthand look at the new Florida immigration detention facility known as Alligator Alcatraz. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
The president was there to celebrate. He says alongside ICE, you'll have basically alligators and pythons serving as security.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.